soul is a soul, and is precious to God. He may be a little boy or a little girl. A soul is a soul, and is precious to God. He may be poor, he may be rich. A soul is a soul, and is precious to God. God is not willing that any should perish. He loves everyone, and so must we. A soul is a soul, and is precious to God. Everyone, and so must we. Soul is a soul, and it's precious to God. Soul is a soul, and it's precious to God. God is not willing that any should perish. He loves everyone, and so must we. Soul is a soul, and it's precious to God.
Soul and it's precious to God, even if in the whole world.
whole world. It will not be worth your soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For all time, what about others? Oh yeah, He saved you, He saved me. What are we doing for others? Do you believe in dreams, the Holy Spirit's dreams? Thousands of men running down the street. They didn't know that the road was leading to a steep and deadly cliff and down into the fire. Oh, oh yeah. He saved you. Saved us for all time. What about others? Oh yeah. He saved you and He saved me. But what are we doing for others? Multitudes, multitudes. Multitudes are waiting in the valley of decision. Oh yeah, they're waiting, they're hoping to hear the gospel. They don't know Jesus Christ, they are lost and dying souls. Yeah, He saved you, He saved me. Us for all time. What about others? Oh, 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 oh. He saved you and He saved me. But what are we doing for others? Yeah. Why do we sit and wait while millions go to hell? Their blood is on our hands. It's time to preach the word. Oh yeah. The gospel of Jesus in its pure and simple form is what is missing now in the church. What are we preaching? Oh, He saved you and He saved me. Oh yes, He saved us from all time. But what about others? Oh, He saved you and He saved me. But what are we doing? Oh, for the others. We are the salt of the world, the light of the world. Are we really shining, shining like we should? We are the salt of the world and the light of the world. Are we really shining as the light of the world? He saved you and He saved. commission his disciples to go and teach all nations. This commission was extensive. It was an obligation for the disciples to disperse themselves to every nation, every corner of the inhabited globe, to preach to every creature without exception, without limitation. of you will sit at ease on a Tuesday evening. I offer these observations. If the whole body of Christians entered heartily into the Great Commission and loved their fellow creatures more than they love themselves, and they love their own lives, they could become candles in the dark. Oh yeah, they could become saviors of this world. Oh yeah, candles in the as far as you send me, to the end of the world. Oh Lord, you won my heart. There is nowhere else to go, and there's no one else to work for but you, friends are for. That's why you're my friend. Whoa, keep praying and keep giving. We must share the gospel everywhere. Cause that's what friends are for.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Father, thank you for this opportunity this evening. Bless our hearts. Give us a soul winner's heart. We thank you for this blessing. Speak to us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to thank Pastor Fitz and the pastoral team for inviting me, Sister Betty, for the invitation to be here tonight. When I was in secondary school, Pastor Fitz was my senior, and I think he was the SU president. And I used to go to him for counseling. Yes, I used to go to him for counseling. So I have so many people in Harvest who have been fathers and blessings to me over the years. So it's a blessing to be here. And it's an honor always to be here. And I always thank God for my mother, Betty, who taught me many things. Tonight, I'm sharing about so many. But I believe the songs that Ida has sung, you know, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you are spoken to by the song. That the most important part of a song is the are the words of the song. So you speak to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we have already been spoken to in the songs that were sung this evening. So I'm just concluding. One of the songs said, He saved you and He saved me. One of the songs said, a soul is a soul. The first song said, a soul is a soul and it's precious to God. That I also learned from Pastor Paddy Brew. It was his poem. A soul is a soul and it's precious to God. It may be a carpenter, it may be a fisherman, it may be a kelewele seller. A soul is a soul and it's precious to God. And the second song said, He saved you and He saved me. What about others? What about others? Other people, apart from us, who are happy and blessed to be in a church today. What about others? So He saved you, He saved me. What about others? That was the second song she sang. And the third song was called A Candle in the Dark. You can be a candle in the dark. And the words from those song, from that song were the words of William Carey, the famous missionary to India. About the Great Commission. He wrote a book called Obligations of Christians to the heathen of the world. So many of the words of that song were from William Carey, famous missionary. And then after that, she sang a song that said, Hello, I'm the one you are looking for. You know, many times we say, Here I am, Lord, send him. But it's time for us to say, Here am I, send me. Use me. Not here I am, send them or send someone else. So God is calling us, and it's time for us to say yes. The most important job in the world is to preach the gospel. It's more important than any other job. No job will ever come close. Because it was the job that God did when he came to the earth. When God became a man, for 3 years, he decided to be a preacher, a full-time preacher. So that is a key thing for us to do, you know. So that's very important. And then the last song was keep preaching, keep teaching. That's what friends are for, you know. We must keep on preaching and we must keep on teaching the gospel. So this evening, after we've been spoken to in Psalms and hymns, in Luke chapter 19, I want us to just look at the words of Jesus. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So he sought to see Jesus, whom he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So the next verse says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day salvation has come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So, I believe we are already blessed with this little passage. But you can see that Zacchaeus represents big time sinners, because he was the chief of the publicans or the tax collectors. And he was rich because he had stolen money. He had taken money from people by false accusation and by wrongdoing. And he had prospered greatly by doing these things, as a lot of prosperity has evil roots. That is why there are so many diseases in families. You just wake up and you have a disease, and the only question they ask you in the hospital is, does your father also have this, or does your mother have this? And if your father has it or your mother has it, then it means you can also have it. And no one knows where these things come from. And it's because much evil and much prosperity has evil roots. It's stolen money. It's money that people have cheated others out of. And so a lot of rich people are sinners and have a lot of sins. Do you see? And you see that the only one person that we are very sure that is in hell is the rich man that Jesus told us about. That he was in hell is the only person we are sure of, because Jesus told us that he was in hell and being in torments, he could see Lazarus far off. So, ladies and gentlemen, Zacchaeus, who represents sin and evil, was a short man, and that means he had internal problems. You get what I'm saying? I don't understand that. Am I saying something wrong? He was short. That means that it's like a personal problem of height difficulty. You get it? Was his problem. And so many people cannot see Jesus because of personal problems. Do you understand? Personal difficulties that they have, intrinsic, deep-seated, personal problems. Do you understand? And then apart from that, he couldn't see Jesus because of the press or the crowd. So he also had external problems that were preventing him from having Jesus. And many people who are in the towns and the cities all over the world have these kind of problems. A problem of being the fact that they were born far away from a capital city. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. And when you travel, you see that every place has people. There are people everywhere. You know? And you find out that all these people are waiting. They're just waiting for somebody to come and preach the gospel to them. So Zacchaeus had external problems. He had internal problems. And he decided to overcome these by climbing a tree. So what I want you to know is that every sinner, you'll be surprised at how much they are waiting for an opportunity to change. As you have condemned them in your mind, that this man, he can never change. The day they have the opportunity to give their life to Jesus, you'll be surprised. I thank God for Calvary Road, because Calvary Road, you know, I didn't go to church. You know, I hated church because I found it dead and unreal. But when I got in contact with Calvary Road, I found it living and real. So I was attracted to it. And then I joined Calvary Road. Now, in Calvary Road, we went to church on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Sundays when we rest. We don't go out on Sundays. Maybe you are new. But I was not used to going to church on Sunday. I was used to working for God throughout the week. And then on Sunday, we rest. You get it? But it's now the other way around. You come to church once on Sunday, and you rest throughout the week. You know? But soul winning must be taken up seriously, because People are ready to be saved. And no one thought, you know, the other Christians thought that Zacchaeus was not, cannot be saved. You know, but he was ready to be saved. I remember one time, my wife used to work at a law firm. And one of the our church members, we were having an outreach. And she decided to invite the head of the law firm. Now, this head of the law firm, he used to criticize us. He said that our churches were like an afternoon disco. It's an afternoon jump. I mean, he found it absurd. But the lady, the sister, decided to invite him. And I also don't know why he decided to come. So he came, and we were doing a normal outreach at Pearl of the East Chinese restaurant. We asked the restaurant if we can do a breakfast instead of lunch. So I don't know how a Chinese restaurant, I don't know what even they serve for breakfast, but we had it. Now this man was sitting there. And that day, I invited Bishop Duncan Williams to preach many years ago. Now, whilst he was preaching, this lawyer took a pen and a paper and started to take notes. Now, the notes that he was taking was not the scriptures, but notes of the mistakes that the man was making. And he wrote on a piece of paper every fallacy, mistake, spelling mistake, any mistake. And he had a long list of things that were all wrong with what the pastor was saying. But in his own words, when Bishop Duncan Williams gave the altar call, he said, "I don't know how my hand went like this." And his hand went up. His hand went up. And he gave his life to Jesus. That's the head of that law firm. Up till today, he's in the church. I was there when he got saved. So salvation, you can't tell who is ready to be saved. You get it? But it is our duty to have a heart to win souls and to know that any soul can be saved. Sometimes every effort you make to win a soul pushes a person nearer, one step nearer. You get it? And then sometimes one person comes and then you are the last person to push the person over the line, and then he now belongs to God. Hallelujah. So, Zacchaeus represents the quintessential sinner, the unbeliever, classic, difficult to be saved. But Jesus used him for salvation, the example of salvation. And the man truly repented. And he said, "Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." Because I know most of this money is all stolen money. And then, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, when you come to Christ, you cannot do whatever you used to do before. There must be a change. You know? Today we have Christians maintaining worldly behavior. Doing everything. Oh, you are giving offering. Don't worry. In my case, after. Thank you very much. You know, sometimes my preaching may become a certain way. People will not come forward to give offering. Then it will be as though I'm not preaching well, but I'll still be preaching well. So, now, I've even forgotten what I was preaching about. Yeah. I'm saying that you cannot do everything you used to do before you got saved. There have to be changes. Real changes. So you can't, you know, do the same things. If you were the owner of a nightclub after you got saved, you can't run a nightclub. You know, the other day I heard Bishop Oyedepo preaching, and he said somebody came to with, I mean, they brought documents for him to pray over. So this man came with documents and he said, "Papa, bless my business." So he said, "No, you are blessed." So at the man, he said, what business? And he said, "Nightclub." He said, "Nightclub." He said, "I collect my prayer back. I collect my prayer back." So you see, today's Christians, they are not aware that salvation means, you know, almost a reversal of what we used to do and what we used to be. You can't listen to the same music. You can't, we don't, you, when it is your wedding, you can't come with secular people to come and play music. Yes. And you can't drink and smoke and eat wheat cake and smoke weed. You know, when you are born again, there must be some changes. Tell your neighbor, please, there must be some changes in your life. Real changes. Amen. So many people want to maintain exactly the same things that they used to do. But salvation involves turning around. And I remember one time I was in a church when a man who owned a big nightclub in Accra gave his life to Jesus. And I was waiting to see whether this man would close down the nightclub. But he continued to maintain the nightclub and come to church. And of course, it was just a matter of time. He was no longer found in the church. Because real repentance is turning around from your sins and from your old ways and coming to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the real turnarounds that needs to come when you are saved is to change your heart's vision, your life's vision. You see, the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christians today have the goals of their hearts, the same goal as the world. To be rich, to be famous, to have big cars, powerful things, to go to London, America, and anywhere. And pastors equally propagate materialism and greedy grasping of things. Say grasping.
Grasping.
Greedy grasping.
Greedy grasping.
It is propagated by churches and pastors. Yes. We are the ones who are pushing that agenda. The agenda of becoming rich, especially through spiritual power. hence scriptures. We have a lot of scriptures for getting rich. Pastors can preach 1 John 3 verse 2. But they can't preach John 3 16. They are all Johns, but it's a different mixture. Because one of the things that changes is the heart. The heart has to change. And the hearts of Christians have not changed. It's not your hairstyle that changes when you are born again. It's your heart that changes. You see, and so when you are born again, God gives you a new heart. Now, with the new heart, there must also be a new purpose. The purpose comes from your heart. Your purpose must change. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added. So our heart's purpose must also be born again. But unfortunately, the church is rather almost like a worldly institution. When you go to churches now, you wonder whether the pastor is a lecturer at Gimpa. What is he preaching about? It's true. And pastors get offended when you say, like what I'm saying. You see, but I don't really mind if you're offended. Because, you know, my ministry cannot be called a poor ministry. If we were poor, we wouldn't even be able to go to Cape Coast for a crusade. How much more Mozambique? And all the trucks and the cars and the convoys, you see, they are our cars and our convoys. They are not rented. We have not rented any car. It's true. So we are not again. We know that we don't use money. But what is the aim? You know, and the aim comes, it comes from our heart. Always we are talking about it. Every message is a blessing of money, of prosperity, of something like that. So it is imparting to Christians something that is contrary to Jesus' aims. You see, you can't send people on missions. When you say go to Dawadawa number 2, do you know Dawadawa number? It's a place. If I say go to this town, you can't go. Because is it the vision you have imparted to the people? They are going nowhere. Everybody is staying here. If at all, we are going to America. Nobody is going anywhere. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is virtually canceled. And you say, go ye into all the world. Who is going to go? And when will anybody go? And when you send somebody and say go, it's almost like it's contrary to what we are being taught. Because we are being taught to stay and be here and be blessed, and nobody wants to give himself all out for the work of the Lord. You see, like William Carey said, for the consideration of those of you who sit at ease. Ida was singing the song. Those of you who sit at ease in your houses, knowing that God has asked us to go to the world to be candles in the dark. But, you know, that message is lost on the church because a parallel scriptural message has drowned out the real message. And that's why Christians are poor and up to their necks in debt. Most Christians don't have money. You've never seen a group who are always preaching about money who don't have money too. Churches don't have money. And Christians don't have money. But are always talking about money. Receive it. Take it one. So I see 16 people becoming millionaires right now. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
This This is all that we are doing. This is all that we are doing. And we are receiving nothing. We have nothing. We are still in the same situation. Things are getting worse even. But if we will return to the Lord and take up what He has asked us to do, I believe we are going to see something that we have never seen. And it needs to be a change in the heart. What is the change? The change is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I am now in my 50s. If I was now deciding that I'm going to now come full time, when I was 25 years old, I became a pastor. And I've been a pastor. And when I finished medical school in 1989, 10th of March, when I finished my housemanship, I put it down as a finish. I finished with everything. God spoke to me and told me, give thyself wholly to these things. Completely. Completely. I don't do business. A lot of pastors say they are doing business, they do this. I don't do business. I don't even to rent something, I don't rent. My business. My business. The currency of my business are souls and churches. Yes. The currency of my business is souls. Yeah. There are a lot of pastors say, oh, you know, you must get into the marketplace. They have a lot of words. Marketplace. And what? Wealth creation. And what? Special purpose vehicles. What's that? Financial engineering. Kingdom business. And raising up of millionaires. You have churches advertise millionaires kit. Millionaires kit. And so many things. And they say we appeal to the world and we appeal to the church. Yes. I have an appeal here and appeal there. I don't appeal to the world. I don't appeal to the world. Why should I appeal to the world? Why should I appeal to the world system? I should preach to them to change. Yes, sir. Not appealing to them. Emma, don't you want to win them? Yes, I want to win them. I want to win them. Why should I appeal to the world? I should preach to them to be saved and to change. And Calvary Road was a soul winning machine. That's why I say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday. Soul winning. And may I preach gospel. Gospel preaching. You say you are doing business. Where is your money? You say you are doing business. Where is the money? When you stand in the church now and start raising funds, ask for 1,000 cedis, you see. 1,000 cedis, $1,000. You see the trouble that will come to the churches now. If you are such a wealth creator, there should have been so much money all over, but there's nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things, God is not against them, but they come after your heart is plastered into his purpose. 100% plastered. Today, you see, the songs that I grew up singing, greater love has no man than this love, Jesus. When I give it to people to sing, these modern musical people, they feel as if these songs are inferior. So now you see, I tell them, no, sing this one. Don't sing anything else. I don't allow crossover music in my church. Sing gospel. Sing about Jesus. Greater love has no man than this. Like the song they sang. Souls are parting to eternity. Souls are parting as we live today. Souls will part as the days go by. How many really will die in Christ? How many really will live again? I learned Calvary Road. This harvest, it represents soul winning. The word harvest. When Reverend Paddy Brew was changing the name at that time, it was about harvesting souls. Souls. That was what it was about. That's why the name was changed. Jesus, the lover of my soul, you need him too. I learned that here. We shall be in the new Jerusalem. I learned it here. And what again? Take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself, follow me. Take up your cross if you wanna be my disciple. Today when they sing, you don't know what they are saying. What song is that? They'll be singing some, then they'll say Jesus. Hey! Okay. Sprinkle some Jesus like some kebab shito that they are putting on. God's banquet. God has called us to his banquet. We can't go without salvation. So there must be a return to Jesus being the main thing in our hearts. And our main work as churches and pastors is to win souls, and to bring people to Jesus must become the main thing and the first thing. And until and unless it becomes the main thing and the first thing, everything else, all our preaching is out of order. It is not what is needed. Yes. So Christianity is, you see, the first words of Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you investors and investment consultants. You see, follow me, and I will make you entrepreneurs. Follow me, and I will make you computer scientists. No, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This was the first thing he told these guys. And what do we tell people? You wonder. I'll make you fishers of men. We are making people entrepreneurs. Wealth creation. Marketplace. Professional, whatever. I thank God I've been to school. If I've not been to school, I can't preach all these messages. But I went to more school than most people. 7 years in the university. 7 good years. 7 good years. I never failed or referred ever in my life. That's not happened. That's not happened yet. Because I don't think it will happen, because I don't know of any school I'm going to. So I'm safe to say it. Yes. So women, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Then the last thing Jesus said when he was going, go ye into all the world and make people into what? Top businessmen. Galatians. So, you see, my friend, that was the last thing that Jesus said and did, was to tell people, go. It was the first thing, it was the last thing. And for us, it doesn't even come up. I read a book, he said, D.L. Moody preached on John 3:16 for 6 weeks. When I read, I said, hey, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For 6 weeks, every Sunday when you come to church, it's God so loved the world. Which church will you go to in Ghana today where they are preaching on God, John 3:16? For 6 weeks. See, when I read that, I look at myself, I said, you see now, I've fallen. God should save me. And that is what inspired me to learn how to preach more from John 3:16, John 3:17, all these words of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this. I mean, and I wrote a book called How You Can Preach Salvation. Each one is a message. Amen. Pastors can't preach salvation. I remember some years ago, I was in Navrongo having a crusade, and Reverend Eastwood came there. You know, and I preached on born again. You know, after he said, you know, when you read that John 3, verse 3, and said, except a man is born again, I was wondering what you are going to say. Yeah, like, what message are you going to preach for about 45 minutes or so on, except a man is born again, he cannot enter, to a crowd of sinners? And it's a genuine question. Because when I also started doing evangelism in a setting, I used to wonder, what do you say? So it made me study Billy Graham and listen to Billy Graham preaching to relearn the basics of Christianity, which has gone out of us because of the type of preaching that we have around. I see 8 people. Something is coming on you. A new promotion. Bring my handkerchief. Bring me some oil. So we just come to church to receive things. To receive. Yeah. Now in Luke 19 and verse 10, we see the words of Jesus Christ. And take note. Now, in verse 12, I want us to continue the story. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent him a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he had received the kingdom, having received the kingdom, he commanded his servants to be called, whom he had given the money, to know how much everyone had gained by trading. The first came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well done, good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Second came and said, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said, have authority over 5 cities. Another came and said, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. You know, when I first started re-singing the Calvary Road songs, I said to myself, Calvary Road, they don't like their own songs. They don't like their own songs. Yeah. The songs that you came up with, the beautiful songs. Let me tell you, few people can compose songs like the songs that were sung from this ministry. Few people can compose. You see, people join words and join one line from here and this one. They think we don't know what they are doing. They join here. Sometimes you listen to the song. You say, this is an adulteration of a song. Few people can compose. These are genuine compositions. Yes. And they have wrapped it in a napkin. Wrapped the gift of God in a napkin. Sitting down, doing nothing. Huh? Then he said, I fear thee because you are a hard man, taking up what you didn't lay down. And he said, out of thy mouth will I judge thee. Alright, then wherefore givest not my money to the bank? Verse 23. That's where banking comes in. And then he said to them that stood by, take from him the pound. Alright. Verse 26. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. But I want you to notice God's word for us. He says, occupy. Occupy. And that word, it means to do business. Amen. Amen. Now, not secular business. Preaching. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So churches today must be about our Father's business. Then you see that he will back you up. I challenge you to have a crusade every week. Have a crusade every week. Have an old-fashioned Calvary Road crusade every week. Get your instruments. Go out there. Sing Greater Love Has No Man. And preach outdoor. That's how I learned it here. And that's what I'm still doing. The film you saw in Mozambique. I went to so many towns. Many, many places. Dark villages and towns. Preaching about Jesus. I learned it here. In Calvary Road. Me, I don't hide where I came from. Where I came from. Some people, they behave like Elijah. They don't have any father or mother or whatever. Me, I'm not Elijah. I have fathers and I have where I came from. And I came from here. This is where I came from. And I'm telling you, have crusade. All your nice singing. We need to hear it out there. Stand by the roadside and preach. There, Zacchaeus is waiting. They are just waiting. You are the person who is going to convert them to Christ. But this work must be in our heart. He said, occupy till I come, which means to do business till I come. God wants us to be engaged. You know, one day I invited somebody to be full-time in the ministry. And he said, oh, if there is anything to do, I will come. If there is what? Your mouth. Your what? Your mouth. If there is anything to do, I will come. A world full of 7 billion souls waiting to be saved, and you are telling me that if there is something to do, you will come and be in full-time ministry. Let's be serious. It's we who are not serious about the work of God. The most difficult part of the work of God is to make a church grow. It's the most difficult work in the work of God is to make a church grow. But we must give ourselves to the difficult work that God has given us to do. That's why pastors, we must read books. You see, I wrote a book called Mega Church, Church Growth, Church Planting. We must give ourselves to this difficult task to make churches grow. The difficult work of winning souls, it must be deep in our hearts. You can't just be in the church and say, Lord, bless me. Lord, I've come again. If you touch me, please, I've come. Don't let me go empty-handed. Those are the songs we sing. Don't let me go empty-handed. I've come, Lord. Another. 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 Touch from the Lord. Another. 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 Touch from the Lord. That's all we want. Another touch. Every day it is, what can the Lord do for me? Now it must be, what can I do for the Lord? What can I also do for the Lord? After he has blessed me, he has saved me, he has helped me, he has loved me, what will I also do for him? What will I also do for him? Yes. You know, if my message sounds distant and sounds impractical to you, it's a sign of how far you are falling. Yes. It's a sign of how far you are falling from God. How far away you are from the true call and the true ministry. If having a crusade is very difficult for you, it's a sign of how distant you are from the real path of life. That's the truth. Because the true church is winning souls. And you see, look at America. Look at the America church. It's falling. The church in America is gone down. You can hardly learn much from them now. We all learned from them. Those are our fathers. But today, you see, instead of going out, they stopped going out. They stopped going. You see, the Great Commission has not been fulfilled. As soon as you put down the instructions of Jesus, you take up another instruction and the presence of God leaves you. Rick Joyner has a book called The Touch and the Sword. Go and buy it. The Touch and the Sword. In that book, he was given a torch. Now, when he held the torch, it looked very light and he was walking. He was walking. The Lord was here and he was also holding the torch. So he was walking. Then he became a little distant from the Lord. Then as he got far from the Lord, the torch became heavy. It became heavy. Then it was like he has to put it down. And the Lord showed him, look, when you go away from me, the commission becomes heavy and difficult. And it's as people have separated themselves from the presence of God, the commission to serve God has become so tedious to them that they put it down and then they take another torch, like a light of economics or a light of finance or a light of some other kind of idea apart from the original torch that he gave to us. It's because you are not with the Lord that the Lord's work looks so heavy to you. Yes. So staying with the Lord makes it, because when he was holding the torch, he said, is it light? He said, no, it's as heavy as the whole earth. But it's so light because of my presence. So when we go away from his calling, from his presence, this great commission and a message like what I'm preaching, it sounds remote and distant. But I want you to know something. As I come to the end, I want to shock you with a verse. The very last verse. Verse 27. And that word, all right, have you found it? Verse 27. He says, but those enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. I want to shock you with some information. You know, when you are not a soul winner and you are not occupied with the work of God, Number one, you are an enemy of God. Because he that is not with me is against me. Look at what he said. Those enemies which would not. Maybe you are not aware. Read the verses before. Maybe you think it's another passage from the Bible. It's the same story. Verse 26. Yes, to whom everyone is given. Read verse 25. He said in verse 24, take from him the pound and give to him that has 10 pounds. And they said, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say to everyone that has, to him shall be given more. But those my enemies, so those who did not do work with the 1 pound are called the enemies of God. And number two, he said that those enemies who would not that I should reign over them. You see, when we don't do so, when God is not controlling us, he's not the one reigning over us. Finance is reigning over you. Some other vision, some other thing is controlling you. So those people who don't want me to reign over them, bring them, I will slay them. The agenda of a political party, the agenda of a business, the agenda of the secular world must not reign and control your life. God's agenda must be the primary agenda. You are occupying, you are busy with his business. Then he is controlling you. Then he is reigning over you. And if not, he is not reigning over you. He is not controlling your life. Because God is controlling my life. He is reigning over me. He says, do this. Go here. Go. Go preach. Do this. Those that would not that I should reign over them. Bring them so that I will slay them. So when we as a church are not. Now look at verse 13. Luke 19 verse 13. Remember it's verse 10 where he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Look at verse 13. Then he called his servants and said, deliver them 10 pounds. They said, occupy till I come. Look at verse 14. Now, but his citizens hated him. So when you don't give yourself to the gospel work of preaching, you hate Jesus. Look, you know, people can really argue, but Jesus will address you and deal with you right away and prove to you that you hate him. And saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. This is the response to occupy till I come. We don't want your control. We want to set up a computer business. We want to make entrepreneurs, not souls. We want to do everything else. We want to make schools, hospitals, everything apart from winning souls to Jesus Christ. It's like I don't want you to control me. Let me be a man, a human being, and do what I think is a good thing in this life. He says, they hated him. And said, we'll not have you reign over us. That's why I can preach like this and people will be offended. Pastors, why should you be offended? What have I said that is offensive? No, think about it. What have I said that is offensive? What on earth have I said? Why would you be offended by what I'm saying? But I know pastors after preaching, they've been called to sit down. You know what you said here? You came to do whatever. You came to embarrass us and so on. You did it. We don't like this and that. I tell you. I've preached at places where afterwards I was called. I was not called on the day. I was called on the next day. Like it's 3 days. So the second day when I came, the faces of everybody has changed. Everybody's face had changed. And I don't know if there was tomorrow in this program as well, whether your faces will be the same. Their faces had changed. They said, sit down. I was like, okay. I sat down. Then everybody went out. Then suddenly they came in. And the pastor took me on. You know what you were preaching yesterday? This and that and that and that. Another person said, don't tell us so much about church, this and that, another church. Recently, I was invited to a church to preach, one of the largest churches in a certain country whose name begins with one of the alphabets in the alphabet. And I just asked a question, who else is preaching at this program? And they mentioned some people. And I said, I can't come. And I will not come because these pastors are preaching. And I said, because when I preach, it will seem as if I am against what they came to preach. I prefer to come at another time, different from the day that they come. Because when I come on the time, it will seem as if I am counteracting business and economic preaching. Because there are some people who are mostly economical in their preaching. Economicalization of Christianity. Hey! I said, please, I don't want to. It has happened to me once. A pastor came, he preached the first day, then I came the next day, and it was like everything I preached was seemed to be against. I didn't know what he preached. It was like I was attacking what he had preached, and that was not my intention. After, I was so embarrassed. I said, I believe what I believe, but I am not here to come and counteract people's preaching or embarrass anybody. So I said, please, another time when it is not two of us there, I will be there. I'll be there fully. And when I preach, you will not say that I'm saying something against somebody's preaching. Hey! Those that hated me, I'm sure you can't believe that you hate God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. John 14:21. He that loves me, he it is that keepeth my commandment. If you love him, you keep his commandments. You do what he says. You go where he says you should go. You preach what he says you preach. You can't just preach whatever you want to preach. In Jonah 3, he told him, go. He told Nineveh, Jonah, go to the town, to Nineveh, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. The preaching that I preach. You can't just preach anything in the church. Go and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Not just any preaching. Any preaching doesn't just work in the church. We are to preach Jesus and preach the cross and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have to return. We have to return. And we have to become soul-winning Christians. People who care about people who are going into eternity. People are being ushered into eternity. Where did they go? Did they go to heaven? Did they go to hell? It must be in our hearts. And when you don't, I'm telling you that you hate God. I hate God. You know, people can argue. One of the things I've seen is that people argue. One time I was in America. I went to watch a film. One of the first time I ever watched a film. And the film was The Passion. And I was with a brother, a Nigerian friend. He was sitting, and then some other brothers. And we were talking. And there were some people there. And then, as the film was going on, if you watch The Passion, isn't it? You know, it's in Hebrew. And then the writing is under. In Aramaic. It's in Aramaic. And the writing is in English under. So as we were talking, we were disturbing the next person and the other people. So they told us, keep quiet. Shh. So my Nigerian friend asked him, sir, hey, why? Do you speak Aramaic? He asked him, do you speak Aramaic? You know? Because you don't understand what they are saying. How can you say we are disturbing you? Are you not reading subtitles as we are all reading subtitles? You know, I realized that day, I realized that there are some people who have an answer for everything. No matter the topic, they will give you an answer back. So, I may preach and I say, you know, soul winning is important. You may have an answer back. Yes. I went to preach somewhere, they were offended. You think that whatever you are doing, you want to do is soul winning, this and that. Please. They have an answer for everything. But Jesus told that wicked servant, you say I'm a hard man. You say I reap where I don't sow. It wasn't easy for him at all. And Jesus dealt with him. He gave the real diagnosis. He says, thou wicked and slothful servant. Actually, your real problem is wickedness and laziness. Although you've been given all these reasons that, you know, you reap where you don't sow, and I didn't want any trouble. And here, have I lost anything? Is anybody's money missing? He asked Jesus, is anybody's money missing? If your money is not missing, don't complain. Here's your money. He thought that would be the end, but not with Jesus. You may be answering back on earth, but when you get into his presence, you can't ask him, do you speak Aramaic? Or such type of cheeky answers. He said, that wicked servant, who would not that I should reign over them? I want Jesus to reign over my life and control me. Yes, and control me. Control everything that I'm doing. Control my preaching. Control my ministry. In The Final Quest, a pastor, there's a book called The Final Quest. You should get it by Rick Joyner. Read it. The Final Quest. A pastor arrived in heaven. And when he got to heaven, there he saw his books. He was coming for judgment. He said, when he saw his books, you see, in the presence of the glory, his books looked so useless. He said it was full of secular wisdom and human ideas rather than the word. So he said, I wanted to rush and grind my books into powder. You should read it, chapter 3. The Final Quest is worth reading. Every pastor, he met about 4 pastors who had died. He didn't even know they were dead, some of them. And they told him what happened to them on the day of judgment. And he met a Christian, that was the first person, who had not worked for God since he got saved. I said it was terrible. He said, I regret everything. He said, when you come here, you will look back to live your life in a different way. You wish you could live your life in a different way. You know, one day one of my church members was diagnosed with cancer. And I was involved with him. And when the doctors told him, you know, this is not long. Because what the cancer was, it's like it had spread everywhere. You know, then he came. And he came to me and brought a check of some dollars for the Healing Jesus campaign. But I said, no, take it back. You need more money now. This is a time that you need money. This is not a time to come and give to. He said, No, I have to do it. I said, no, take it back. You see, when eternity opens before you, you start to look at, what did I say I would do? I didn't do. What was this I was supposed to do? I didn't do. What was I promised to do? I haven't done it. And we want to go back quickly and rush and try to finish up. Yes. Many times, that's how it is. When I get to heaven, I don't want to ever say I want to go back to do some more for Jesus. When I get there, I don't want to ever look back and say, oh, how I wish I'd preached more. How I wish I'd gone further. How I wish I'd written that book. Most of the things I do quickly. I try to do quickly. You know, some years ago, I was driving to Tamale. My car was new, 6 months old. When I passed Buipe, those of you who know the road from Buipe, you are in the northern region. When I passed Buipe, I told, my car was full, I was driving. I told them, we'll be in Tamale in this 30 minutes. I gave them the time. But it was not to be so. Because exactly 30 minutes after I spoke, as I was driving, a new car. You know, and the road is flat. And there is no car coming really. There's nothing much there. There's no danger you can even perceive. But in 30 minutes, we had somersaulted to the right side of the road. The distance from the road will be from outside your wall here to outside there. We were in the forest. The car was upside down, the smoke was about to burn. Yes. I said 30 minutes will be 30 minutes we were upside down. Not in Tamale. Now, as the car was somersaulting, I started to cry in me. I said, oh God, how? I'm going to preach. I left Accra at 7. I'm not doing anything bad. Everybody in the car is a pastor. There's no bad person in the car. And you want to kill us on top of it. When we came out of the car that day, one of my pastors was standing by me. Prophet Kakra, I think he's been here before. He said to me, you know, if I had died today, I would have been very surprised. I would have been very surprised. Because no one was thinking of death. Yes. But from that day, my life changed. It affected me. It has affected me up till today. I always think of eternity when I'm doing things. I want to work faster. I want to do more. I want to finish. I want to serve Him. I want to preach. I don't want Him to ever say that my book, I don't want to feel that my book should be ground into powder. I want to go all out to serve Him. He must reign over us. Otherwise, we are His enemies. He said, those enemies who would not have me to reign, I will slay them. You'll never be slain in Jesus' name. So today, look, change your goal for your life. I don't know what they told you during your career counseling. Change it. And adopt the goals of Jesus. The Son of Man came into this world to seek and to save people that are lost. It's simple. That's the agenda. There will never be another agenda, no matter who is, how great he is, who comes to preach. I heard one pastor saying that he doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus and all those things that he preaches about. I mean, the kingdom of God and so on. He died in a rubbish dump. Yes. So I don't believe in the blood. He said, I don't. What is this blood religion? Be careful. Those are the foundations which we are standing on. The foundations we are standing on. The blood of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we give ourselves to Jesus to do his will, he's going to reign over us. Now, all the things that people are dying for will be added to you easily. Yes. It will be added to your life. Change your aims. Yes. Let your aim be one. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And all things will be added to your life. Stand to your feet, please. Father, thank you for your word tonight. No one should move, please. No one should move. Don't move at all, please. I'm closing in a minute. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you. Father, we give ourselves to your great commission. Lord, forgive us. We seem to have another commission, Lord, apart from the commission that you gave us. Have mercy on us, Lord. We are all guilty. So we pray tonight that you will not be far from us, that we will not be your enemies, that you will reign over us. You control everything about us. Everything we do and say and have will be for you. We thank you. Thank you for calling everyone here. Thank you that it is us you are looking for. You want us to serve you, and you want us to do your perfect will. Thank you. If you are here tonight and you feel that God has called you to serve him in the ministry,